Darkness is light to guide our feet. The 24/7 authentic Christian ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our Sunday school lesson review for this, the 15th day of April, in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2012. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Sunday school lesson for today is that lesson for April 15, 2012. We use as our scripture guide the 2011-2012 Evangelical Sunday School Lesson Commentary, 60th Annual Volume, based on the Pentecostal Charismatic Bible Lesson Series. The editorial staff is Lance Kolkmeyer, editor, Tammy Hatfield, editorial assistant, Terry Hart, general director of publications. Lesson exposition writers, J-O-U-D-G, Adewuya, Lance Kolkmeyer, Dale Coulter, Gerald Daffy, Thomas Doolittle, Rodney Hodge, Joshua F. Rice, Saborn Woods, published by Pathway Press, Cleveland, Tennessee. We follow their scripture guide, but we do not use or read their commentary in our exposition of the Sunday school lesson. Today, the scriptures that they are recommending are found in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you are new with us in terms of this particular ministry, you may want to know that the Bible used exclusively in our ministry, in our public ministry, is the King James Version of the Holy Bible. The King James Version of the Holy Bible. As I mentioned, we follow their scripture reference, and so I will read the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then discuss it briefly, and I will explain the briefness shortly. Let's read now 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The reading begins at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The reading begins at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, or one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all. Let's read once again now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, or all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 31. I will say unto you, my friends, that of all the chapters in the Holy Bible, this is one of those upon which I am most fearful when I preach. And because I fear this chapter, I don't plan to talk to you about it long. The reason I fear it is because there are so many interpretations in what we call the Holy Church. And many denominations are cemented in their interpretations. And yet we see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in many ways. I do not want to limit this scripture where it is not limited. And I do not want to liberalize it where it is not liberalized. I don't want to add anything. I don't want to take away anything. And let me further explain that it is important, I believe, for us to understand that we must specifically and expressly operate in the Christian church at the direction of and under the unction of the Holy Ghost. You who have studied the Bible know that Satan was expelled from heaven. He was expelled from heaven, and you may have read and have gleaned numerous reasons. But as I look at the Word of God and at what God requires from us, more than likely, just deciding to do things your own way is enough to get you expelled from heaven. Just deciding to do things your own way is enough to be offensive against God enough to have arrived in and to exist in that category known as sin. And so we have to be very careful. And so if we have many interpretations of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and if some are wrong, and there are so many diverse interpretations, that it appears that some must be wrong, that is a danger in the Christian church as well as a weakness. And so I will not take anyone's side. I know there are those who say, for example, that tongues have ceased. There are those who say that a person is not saved unless it is evidenced by the speaking in tongues. And so those are two diametrically opposed renderings in the Christian church. One which says that if a person doesn't speak in tongues, he or she is not saved. Another which says, well, the Bible says, they say, that tongues have ceased. I will not assume either of those philosophers with absoluteness, but I will call your attention to the operation of the Holy Spirit. That is the one thing I see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that I think I can highlight without fear. There are some other things that are somewhat evident, the body of Christ and all the members not being the exact same, and there not being a schism in the body, and each member having its function, and members being honored together, and these kinds of things. Those are rather clear to you. I would like to highlight, though, and briefly so, because at least the less I say about this scripture, I think probably the better, because I do not want to hinder the operation of the Holy Ghost in any of you. And if I take one side or the other, someone is going to be hindered. It appears that the essence of the expression of the ministry and worship of Almighty God is the Holy Spirit. It appears that the essence of the expression and worship of Almighty God is the Holy Spirit. And so if we are not operating in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, I think we are all already at a disadvantage ourselves, but our ministries are at disadvantage. Which brings then our ritual, our ways and manner of doing things. If we have so structured our church experience, if we have so structured our corporate worship particularly, that the individual members of our church bodies are not likely to spend much time in the presence of and seeking the Holy Spirit's operation in their own lives, that our church body is going to be, it's going to have a deficit. And I think this is borne out by the various denominations. There are some denominations that totally reject operation of certain elements that are called spiritual gifts. And there are others who swim in those elements. And as I think about it, and I'm not trying to take sides, but I believe we have to lay before God and lie there and allow the Holy Ghost to have his own way. We have to, I believe, seek the active and present and continual ministry of the Holy Ghost in us so that our Christian lives can manifest the same. To me, that's what ministry is. Just doing what the Holy Ghost says do. Just doing what the Holy Ghost says do. But that requires lying before God. You lay before him and you lie before him. I was in last week was Good Friday, and they asked me to come and participate on a 7 last words program. So it had been a busy week, but I drove out of town, and the Lord blessed the program. But after the program, one of the ministers wanted to take time to pray for people. And so it became a very powerful prayer meeting that lasted almost half the night. And while they prayed for people, I was on my face near the altar interceding to the Lord. And after it was over, a woman came to me and said, "Thank you for laying before the Lord for us. Thank you for laying before the Lord for us." The Spirit just... there were a number of ministers there who were doing the praying. I didn't lay hands on anybody. I just got on my face and prayed for the process. And the Lord worked in so many ways that people could not leave. People did not leave. People would not leave. Became a wonderful, wonderful worship service. And we had had a wonderful Good Friday, seven last words. And we say, well, are you trying to say that you are the one that... No, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that the expression of the power of God in us as ministers is through the Holy Ghost. And we must lay before the Lord. And I use that to say this. Some of the people who contend that, well, the Spirit doesn't do this and people don't speak in tongues and this and that, I wonder if your church structure puts much emphasis on laying before the Lord. I wonder if your church structure takes the time to lay before the Lord and remain there before Him, beseeching Him. I don't want to criticize anyone, but just taking last week, for example, had we not done what we did, people would not have been blessed. People went out testifying how spiritually blessed they were, how they had been delivered, because the power of God had done that for them. I'm afraid that if our structure is so rigid that we must come in at a certain time and we must be out by a certain time. And I remember a church one time, we're not criticizing it, that this is about 30 years ago, that we asked the people to use the church, and they told us, well, now the security alarm system goes on at a certain time, so you've got to be out by that time. And I understand it was in a major city that was apt to have robberies and so forth. I understand them having a security alarm system, but I think we have to be careful. We have to be careful to allow the operation of the Holy Spirit. And so I don't limit the Holy Spirit in anything. As far as I'm concerned, He's only limited where God says He's limited. I've seen the Holy Spirit work in various ways in me. But I also, as I think about it, realize that His work in me has been dependent to some extent on my giving myself access to Him. It's important to give yourself access to the Lord. It is important to practice the presence of the Lord. Some of you may pray once or twice a day. I'm not bragging. I can't count. I'm not going to try to count the number of times I pray a day, but I will tell you I pray more than once a day. I pray more than twice a day. I pray more than three times a day. I pray more than four times a day. I pray more than five times a day. I pray more than six times a day. I pray more than seven times a day. I pray more than eight times every day. And many days, many more times. I don't know how many times I pray, but one must practice the presence of the Lord. And if you're walking in His presence, all you got to do is start talking to Him. There are many things. I was doing a project yesterday, and it was a secular project, and I was doing it. My wife wanted, I was doing something that I wanted to do, and she came out. Well, I want this done, and so I try to do what I can to please my wife, and so I hadn't put her part in my schedule. I had my part I had scheduled my part for Saturday, because I stay so busy. If I don't get things done on a Saturday, then it's going to have to wait another 3 or 4 weeks or a month. And so I had a very important thing I wanted to do, but while I was doing it, she came out and I want this. And so I'm an easy to get along with. I tell my wife, you have the greatest husband in the world. I don't argue with you. I don't require you to do anything. I try to do what I can within the will of God to bless you. So she came out, and she helps me. And it's not just me. She helps me, in what. And so we work together in our own way. And so she came out, and that changed my project. Well, I had planned to work about 12 hours and then go take a nap and come back and finish that project. But once she wanted to have a part of the project, then that changed it. And so I had to re-engineer it in my mind. So I said, in order to include her part, I've got to totally re-engineer this project. So I re-engineered it, and so I finally got to a point, because it was rather complex, and I got to a point, I said, now I don't really know what to do at this point to make this project come out the best. And so I prayed and said, Lord, show me what to do now, based upon the resources and assets I have to work with here. It doesn't look like this project is going to work. So I said, Lord, show me now. Show me what I need to do. And lo and behold, it wasn't long. The Lord gave me a totally new engineering plan for that project. And that project came out beautifully, so much so that I think it was this morning my wife was telling me what a wonderful job it was. She doesn't know that I got to a point where my engineering scheme had been exhausted. And so I prayed, and the Lord gave me a totally new engineering plan, and it came out beautifully. My point, my friend, is if you want to be successful in the Christian church, if you want to be successful in Christian ministry, I know of no substitute for prayer and laying before the Lord. I know of no substitute. So I don't want to go into, well, should we be speaking in tongues and this and that? I will just say this. Over the course of my ministry, the Holy Ghost has used me in so many strange ways. One of the things that shock me are people who I kind of know don't think much of me or my ministry. But if somebody is about to die in their family, and if they're at the last straw, they will ask me to pray for them. I was shocked a few weeks ago, it must have been about 2 months now, is that I just went, well, I'm not going to say what happened, but a woman asked me to pray for her. And I really wanted to pray for her, but I didn't think, because I've known her for a long time, and she's had some problems in her life. And I wanted to pray for her, but I did not know that she wanted my prayer. Now, it is my belief that the Holy Ghost told her to ask me to pray for her. There are times, it has happened so many times in my life, that people who I know don't think much of me or don't like me in particular. When the chips are down and when everything has failed, they will either come to me or send word to me for me to pray for them. It's like the Holy Ghost has set me up to be a person of, when nothing else will work, ask him to pray for you. And I do it, and I know I can point to case after case where I've prayed for people, and they still to this day are enjoying that loved one that was supposed to have died according to the doctors. So the Holy Ghost is the key to the expression of our ministry. And I won't apologize, but I am afraid of this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm afraid of it because I'm afraid that I will hinder you if I say too much about it. I'm afraid that I will say something because there is so much controversy in the Christian church concerning spiritual gifts. I fear this chapter. But one thing I do not fear to say to you, I do not fear to say to you that the Holy Ghost is the key and the essence to full ministry in the Lord. Let's read the first three or four verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and pay particular attention to the words, the Spirit or the Holy Ghost. You see, Paul starts this out with an emphasis on the Spirit and the Holy Ghost. And this is borne out in my life. Keep in mind, doing things our way is sin. Doing things our way is sin. Perhaps it's enough sin to get one kicked out of heaven. And I have to watch that. I'm so strong and I have such a zeal for the word of the Lord, and I have such a zeal for getting people saved, and I don't like sin, and I've been opposed so much by Satan. I have to be careful because, it's not by power, it's not by might, but the Lord says it's by His Spirit, by His Spirit. And so when you are a strong man like me, you run the risk of angering God because of your zeal for His word and your zeal for holiness. But you run the risk of doing it your way and not God's way. And so we have to be careful. And I think the key that I want you to remember, one key is that the expression of your worship and service to God is really and should really be based, tremendously and fully on the operation of the Holy Spirit. And of course, we need to give Him the time. If you were with me earlier, I mentioned the prayer, the wonderful time we had following the seven last words service on last Friday night, not this past Friday, but on Good Friday. But the fact that we stayed there, because we were getting ready to turn out. It had been a good service. Must have been maybe 10 o'clock at night. And a minister got up and said that the Holy Spirit had shown that there was someone who needed to be delivered. Someone who needed prayer. Well, lo and behold, that someone became many ones. And then there became a line. You see, the Holy Ghost knew who was there, but the people in charge were willing to give the time. There are churches, and I'm not criticizing you, but I think there are churches that would not have been willing to give the time, or there would have been a lot of argument. I don't know why we stayed so long. I heard nobody complain. Not one person complained about how long that service lasted. You must give the Holy Ghost the time to do His work. You see, Jesus said that He could do no mighty work in a certain place because of their unbelief. And Jesus is God. And so it shows that receptivity of the Holy Spirit, receptivity of Christ, makes all the difference. So in your church, in your services, if you cannot provide the time, and you may end up going through the same ritual. And I know you would say, well, we have Sunday school and we have two services, and sometimes we come back for an evening, afternoon service, and we have Bible study and we have prayer meeting. And then we have to have choir rehearsal. And so, Reverend, that's a lot. And I understand that. I'm not, and I understand that that works for many of you. But I must wonder that if you really got your people to lay before the Lord for lengths of time, I must wonder if there would not be more power in your church. There's a church in a city near here, Greensboro, North Carolina. There's a church that has grown exponentially during the last 20 years. And they were a Baptist church. They no longer call themselves Baptist now, but it appears to me from what I hear of their ministry that they give God the time, and they've grown so huge. When you go to their church campus, I would call it, you would think you had a big government complex. That's just how huge it is. I don't know if they have a bus to bring you in from the far outlying parking lot or not, but if you park way out there, it's a long way to walk. But they've grown exponentially. I hear that one of the ways that they operate is that they have these Christian cells where people meet together. I assume they meet together in Bible study and in prayer and so forth. But if you lay before the Lord, if you give the Lord the time, if you give the Lord the time, if you give the Lord the time, you can be sure that he will give you the blessings. If you give the Lord the time, you can be sure that he will give you the blessings. You may say, well, Reverend, now you've said all that. Do you believe that people still speak in tongues? Or do you go along with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which says tongues will cease? Now, which do you believe? Let me say it this way. I told you I'm afraid of this chapter. And I'm just going to say that I believe the Lord can do whatever he decides to do. I've seen him do it through me. And I think that's one reason why my ministry is configured like it is. I'm not in a traditional church grouping anymore. And while I don't in any way frown on church groupings, but the Lord wants to do more through me than some of the church groupings would allow him to do. Yes, I'm Baptist, but if I were in a Baptist church, a lot of people would just be, I mean, if I was in a big Baptist church, say as an associate minister or whatever, a lot of people would just be upset at my zeal for wanting to lay before the Lord and give the Lord time and this and that. They would not want that. And, you know, you may say, well, Paige, you know, a big pastor may say, Paige, you know, you ought to be under somebody and you ought to let them be a mentor for you and you would be able to polish your ministry. And I would say to you, Reverend Dr. Pastor, that because of the configuration of Trinity Baptist Church, I've said to the Lord often, Lord, if you want me to be an associate minister under someone, I'm willing to do that. But the Lord does not want that. The Lord does not want that. You see, the Lord has me exactly where he wants me. Because, you see, whenever he wants me, he has me. I don't have to ask pastor or bishop or somebody, well, can I do this for the Lord? The Lord has access to me 24/7. And if he wants me on my face, I'm on my face. If he wants me to do this, I'm doing this. If he wants me to do that, I'm doing that. You see, and so the Lord does wonderfully, but he needs access to you. The Lord does wonderfully, but he needs access to you. And so what I want to say for our Sunday school lesson today, that in my many years of ministry, what I've gleaned from how the Lord has used me is that he just needs access. I don't even know what he's doing a lot of times. But he tells me to say something. A person can come before me, and the Spirit will tell me, this person's situation is such and such. I remember it happening a few weeks ago. Person came before me, and I was grieved because I saw the person had a kind of bondage. And lo and behold, I prayed for the person. And then the Lord brought the person before me again, and the person appeared to have been delivered. And then the Lord brought the person before me again. And the person was just rejoicing and rejoicing and rejoicing. If you just let the Holy Spirit have his way, he will show you. Let me conclude with this. I was thinking before this service today, it's a shame how many people never experience the blessings that are right near them. Because on our jobs and in our businesses, it is not popular in many places to lay your hands on somebody and pray for them. Now, in a few companies that have people who are open to the Lord's word, employees can lay hands on people and pray for people and deliver people. But there are many places where if you do that, that is a violation of the work laws. If you even say something to a person about the Lord, that's a violation. And so before this sermon today, I was thinking how tragic it is that so many people on planet Earth remain in their bound and very, very impoverished states, all because the help of God's people, which sometimes is right at the next desk, right in the next room, which sometimes is right in their work group, but they won't receive it. And Jesus said, of course, it said about Jesus that he could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. And so even though people won't receive you, and they have legislated the power of God out of many, many public venues, stay close to God. Lay before the Lord. You're going to be strange. They will look at you as strange, and because they are not doing that. What are they doing? They're going to work. They're watching TV, and they are watching sports and playing sports. And they go to church. When I say they, many of them, but they are not interested in laying before the Lord, and many are not interested in being closer to the Lord. They're interested in trying to get some more money by playing the lottery. They're interested in what they're told to be interested in on the TVs and in the movies. You see, a lot of people in your churches, they are taking their philosophical lead from people who do not know the Lord. They're taking their philosophical lead from people who do not have the Holy Ghost. But these people sound so logical, and they seem to care so much, and they're there every day on TV. They're the talking heads, and they bring in people, and they interview them, and they're so concerned about human issues. And because they're so concerned about human issues, your church members are drawn to them because these people seem to have a love for human beings. And that's fine that they're concerned about human issues, but many people are missing the spiritual aspect, and the power of God is not working through them. And then many conclude, well, the Lord is not doing this in our age. He did it 2,000 years ago, but that's not happening in our age. The Lord is not doing this in our age. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the Lord can do whatever he decides to do. Let's read again a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and conclude this review of the Sunday school lesson. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning reading at verse 1, paying particular interest and attention to the reference to the Holy Spirit, the reference to the Holy Ghost, which I think is the key. I believe the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, I think is the key to the expression of spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and what he does and what he's able to do. Have you ever said to the Lord, Lord, now I'm going to do what I can do. And now, Lord, you do what you can do. Have you ever thought about that? You know, when God does what he can do, think about it. What can God do? There are times when I say, Lord, I'm going to do what I can do. Please do what you can do. And as soon as the words are out of my mouth, I'm excited. You see, not because of what I can do, but I'm excited because of what God can do. So I say, Lord, I'm going to do what I can do. Please do what you can do. And as soon as those words are out of my mouth, I am excited. Think, what can God do? My goodness, what can God do? What can God do? I guess the thing is, the question is, what can't God do besides sin? What can't God do besides sin? My goodness, Lord, I'm going to do what I can do. Please do what you can do. Have you ever considered that? Oh, that's an exciting prayer. Lord, I'm going to do what I can do. Please do what you can do. That's a team now, my friend. Now, you got a partner there. When you do what you can do, as a matter of fact, without him, I can't do anything anyway. It's all because of his empowering. But I mean that which I can't do, Lord, you please do that. Lord, I'm going to do what I can do. Please do what you can do. I'm talking about the operation of the Holy Spirit in the Christian. I'm talking about the expression of spiritual gifts. What can't God do? Be careful about limiting God. Be careful about limiting God, even in your church structure. Be very careful about limiting God. Let's read now 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a few verses, paying particular attention to the reference to the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And let's stop there. You see how he referred to the Spirit? Let's read now 5 and a few other verses. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Reading once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And I'll stop there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Pay attention to the word the Lord. Pay attention to the word God. Pay attention to the word Spirit. Pay attention to the word Holy Ghost. In those opening verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the word Spirit with the capital S, the word Holy Ghost, the word Lord, the word God, manifest themselves as being the operative power behind spiritual gifts. And so if you give the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Lord, God, access to you, my experience is it's no telling what he will do through you. My experience is it's no telling what he will do through you. And thus I will not limit him. And thus I leave you with this. Give the Lord access, full access. Full access to yourself, and the manifestation of the spiritual gifts that God has for you will begin to materialize. And more than likely, you yourself will be surprised. This has been the Sunday School Lesson Review for this, the 15th day of April, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2012, as reckoned by our calendar. This is Light to Guide Our Feet, the 24/7 authentic Christian ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. This is Pastor Clarence William Page. This is Light to Guide Our Feet, 24/7, authentic Christian ministry.